the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
My sisters, today is September 8th, and on September 8th, we celebrate the Nativity, the birth of the Mother of God, the Most Holy Theotokos and Ever Virgin Mary. We'll say something about this feast that we celebrate today. But first, I want to share with you a quote from St. John Chrysostom. And this quote speaks to us about the September feast that we celebrate. We celebrate the Mother of God's Nativity today, and then also this week on Saturday, we celebrate the Feast of the Exaltation of the Life-Giving Cross. St. John Chrysostom says, "Christ conquered the devil using the same weapons that the devil used against us, a virgin, a tree, and death. These tokens of our demise have now become tokens of our victory. Instead of Eve, there is Mary. Instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the wood of the cross. Instead of Adam's death, the death of Christ. Christ is the new Adam who undoes everything that the old Adam had done. He fixes that which was broken. And Christ has a new Eve. And the new Eve is his mother. We celebrate her birthday today." Now some might say, well, why are we celebrating her birthday? That's not even in the scriptures. How could we possibly celebrate something that's not in the scriptures? And today's sermon won't be on the fallacy of sola scriptura. I think we've covered that many times in the past. But we will speak a little bit about the celebration of birthdays. And, you know, in a way, there's a good point there. Maybe we shouldn't celebrate birthdays. In fact, for the month of September, we'll do that. The following people will not celebrate their birthdays. Chad Fortin, Kathy Parrish, Lula Casserly, John Coquinas, etc. I'm just joking, of course. We know common sense tells us that we should celebrate birthdays, right? We should celebrate birthdays. I'm going to give you 5 points why we should, in general and in particular with regard to the Mother of God. First, deliverance. Deliverance. The Lord says even, a woman has pain in childbirth because her time has come. But when she brings forth her child, she forgets her anguish because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. Great celebration of the deliverance of the difficulties of pregnancy and labor and giving birth. Just this past week in the news, but actually September 6th, I saw in USA Today an article about a 74-year-old woman who reportedly gave birth to twins. And USA Today said this woman may have been the oldest ever to give birth. Talk about that in a second. And this happened in India using in vitro fertilization. Now this woman, again, was 74 years old, and she gave birth to twins. If there's a greater example of deliverance, I would like to hear it. Think about how difficult that pregnancy must have been for this woman. But she wasn't the oldest. Scriptures record those who are older. Sarah, wife of Abraham, was 90. Or 91, perhaps, when she gave birth to Isaac. So a little bit older. And of course, this was by God's providence. There are numerous people in the Old Testament who were thought to be barren, unable to have children. And by God's providence, they did bring forth. And they were special, those children. There was something about them. Joachim and Anna were barren, childless, elderly. And they gave birth to the Mother of God. We see in the icon the different scenes of that conception and the birth of the Most Holy Theotokos. So the first is deliverance. Birthday should be celebrated because of deliverance. The second is pretty obvious, existence. Families celebrate birthdays because someone has come into existence. Now, of course, both theology and science tells us that life begins at conception, But conception is a little bit harder to pin down. So we celebrate life and the existence thereof at birthdays. And especially, we celebrate the birthdays of our children. Once you get to a certain age, you don't want to celebrate birthdays anymore. Until you get actually up on an age. So you get to be elderly, and then birthdays are really celebrated. We have a woman in church today celebrating her 96th. Irene, many years to you. We honor those who have come before us, and we thank them for bringing us into existence. Some of you are familiar with that movie, Back to the Future. Who's seen Back to the Future? You can't be a child maybe and have seen this, but it's from 1985. You got to go back to the future even to see the movie. In this movie, which you have Michael J. Fox as the star, he goes back in time through a time machine, and he goes back from 1985 to 1955, and he meets his parents who have not yet been married. And he messes up their relationship. And it looks like they're not going to be married. And if they're not going to be married, they're not going to have children. And they're not going to have children, he's not going to exist. And in the movie, he starts to disappear. Fade out of existence. Because his parents weren't going to have him. Now, of course, the movie, I won't ruin everything for you, but it ends well. He actually does preserve his existence. But if we think about our parents, if they didn't get together and have us, we would not be in existence, biologically speaking. What about spiritually? Our spiritual forebears, our fathers and mothers, according to the faith. What if they didn't have that faith? What if they didn't exist? Would we be here? The cross above would slowly fade away. The icons all disappear. This chapel would disappear. We'd just be sitting in a garage. We would not be here as Christians were it not for the Mother of God. Were she not to be born? Because it was through her that Christ came and became man. And he worked the salvation of all of us and established his church. No Mother of God, no Christ. No church, no salvation. We would fade from existence. And we would be pagans, still subject to sin, death, and the devil. What a pitiful dimension of life that would be. That would be death. So deliverance, existence. How about anticipation? When a young child is born, we wonder, what will become of this child? You think the prophets didn't wonder what would happen with the Mother of God? Those who, in the Law and the Prophets, saw all of the types and figures and the prefigurations and all of that. You don't think they were wondering? They were looking with anticipation on who would be this special child who would give birth to the Christ? Who would be the ladder, the east gate, the house of wisdom that we heard about in the scriptures last night? The palace, the throne, the tabernacle, the temple, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. You don't think Aaron wondered about what rod would bud? The jar of manna, the tables of the law, the burning bush of Moses, the fleece of Gideon, the stem of Jesse, the mountain uncut by human hands seen by Daniel, the virgin who would give birth to God with us, Emmanuel, seen by Isaiah. They were all looking, waiting to rejoice, seeing the coming of the Messiah. Didn't the Lord say even of Abraham, who we just spoke about, Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Because God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. All of those in the Old Testament were looking and watching and waiting with anticipation for the birth of the Mother of God, who would give birth to the Son of God, the Messiah. Deliverance, existence, anticipation. Well, how about us? We're kind of after the birth of the Mother of God. Do we look with anticipation? No. We look back with remembrance and gratitude. Mother of God speaks about this in the scriptures. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth, from this time forward, all generations will call me blessing. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever. We are the posterity of Abraham, those who through faith have become children of Abraham. We rejoice and we call the Mother of God blessed, and we remember her from generation to generation. That's the fourth thing. And the fifth, which we'll close on. Maybe this should have been the first. Why we celebrate birthdays. And that's love. Love. For what she has done for us in bearing the Christ child. For who she is, being the model Christian. If we want to see the goodness and heights of humanity, we look to Christ. If we want to see what ordinary people can become, we look to the Mother of God. When we see her also, we see Christ. The apostles knew that. When Christ ascended to heaven, they rejoiced to come and look in the face of the Mother of God because they saw the face of Christ. Adam and Eve shared the same DNA. Eve taken out of the rib of Adam. Same DNA. All of us, we kind of are split between our parents, for better or for worse. But with the first Eve, she came from Adam. With the new Adam, he came from the new Eve. The same DNA, they look the same. And not only in physical appearance, but in the way they lived their life. The way they lived their life. Didn't we hear in the gospel today about how blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it? Lord says, this is my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. Those who hear the word of God and keep it. And we're called to that same resemblance of Christ. Not in our DNA, but with regard to the spiritual life. So one can't really love Christ without also loving his mother. If we truly love Christ for who he is, we have to love his mother for who she is because of this resemblance. Birthdays are truly worth celebrating because of the birth of Christ, which renews us, the Savior of the world. And the birth of the Virgin is truly worth celebrating because without her birth, there is no birth of Christ. And we would all be dead in our sins. Brothers and sisters, today is a day to celebrate our rebirth in Christ. The birth of those who came before us, most especially the birth of the Mother of God. Keep the feast highly, rejoice in this day. Celebrate for the deliverance, the existence, the anticipation, the remembrance, and most especially your love for her. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.